This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that this series of good moral values or practices that we find should become more than just a sentimental listening towards the prophetic traditions and teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, we should begin to manifest these values. And that is the real intent of these teachings. As Allah mentioned, يُخْرِجُهُم مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, that the teachings and the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extracts people, delivers people, takes them out from the realms of darknesses to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that these values, we need to begin to display them. When we speak about justice, that we need to be just. We need to show justice on the face of this earth. We speak about kindness, that we need to be kind towards people around us. We spoke about patience, that we need to embody ourselves to be patient individuals. And that is the main theme of this journey, to embody ourselves with these practices, to begin to display these fine teachings as fine actions. We speak about charitable or being charity or giving charity, that we find that we need to become of giving our wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain piety until you don't spend all the things that you love. And we find that, unfortunately or strangely, wealth is something that is very dear to a lot of people. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. You want to gather wealth. You have this excessive greed, this love for wealth that we find. Islam isn't against wealth. Islam just teaches the person how to deal with their wealth and how to deal with subjects around them who may also need that wealth. But the Quran speaks that this wealth, spent from the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given to you, He's delivered to you. It can only be linguistically mentioned that it's your hard-earned wealth. But the essence of that wealth is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gives the individual the tawfiq, the ability to work, to strive, to use their mind, whatever it may be, to gain that wealth. But the ultimate beginning and the end of that wealth lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came to codify people, how to encourage people how to live with their wealth, how to interact with their wealth. And thus he mentioned, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا سَمْحًا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be merciful, kind to the individual who is tolerant, who is full of tolerance, full of benevolence, kindness, leniency. What type of individual is that? إِذَا بَعَ وَاشْتَرَى وَإِذَا اقْتَضَى. Person, when he buys and he sells, and he's collecting his own debts, or debts which are owed to him. You find this narration inside the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, fi Kitab al-Buyu', in a book of transactions, business transactions, that everything of our life is codified of how we need to conduct ourselves, what we need to do inside our lives. Thus we find that in the real world, or in the real practice that we find, that most of us, we look at what is our own interest, what will profit us, or our own personal benefit. That is the reality of this world. Whether Muslim or non-Muslim, that we find it's a common factor, that when it comes to business transactions, every individual looks at their own personal self, their own personal profit, their own benefit. And we shouldn't be surprised by this, because it's a world full of materialism, a world full of capitalism, a world full of greed, that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. This is what this world is full of, unfortunately, that we find. Even if we look at the statistical data of the amount of wealth that exists upon this earth, there's approximately, that we find, $280 trillion of wealth on this planet, which is held, half of it is held by the richest 1% of this world.
The richest 1% hold half of $280 trillion. The amount of surplus food that people speak about, wasting of food, or speak about how to help other people in the face of this earth. The amount of excessive food, wheat, corn, rice, such materials that you find 670 million tons, which can excessive food this is, which can feed China for a whole year, the whole of China. 670 million tons of grain, wheat, barley, rice that exist, which is excessive. And just to refresh our memory, China is the most populated country in the world at the moment, more than 1 billion. So they can feed them for a whole year. So when we speak about the problems on the face of this earth, as they say, the solution lies with only with a few people, with a few regimes, with a few governments. It lies with them. The answer is very simple. But because of this element of this passionate love of greed and wealth and dominance of control, that overrides the person. That's when the Quran speaks, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ, the one who takes out the greed from their heart, those are the successful individuals who rip it out of their hearts, the concept of too much greed, excessive luxury on this earth that we find. Thus we find that the worldly concept and the Quranic concept are far, far apart. Because always, sometimes you find Muslims, liberal Muslims, modernist Muslims, who try to make bridge this gap between Islam and the West, and things of the West and things that we can say of the East. There is no bridging gap at times. Because one is man-made laws, and one is laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Doesn't Allah know what He has created? He's the most subtle, the most aware. Because by default, these people, excuse the expression, but linguistically, they're trying to play God. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to play that we control factors on the face of this earth. We know what's best for people. And this trend is far growing. Don't be surprised, even in Muslim countries as well, that the concept of communism, socialism, materialism, that to live for the freedom of the world and enjoyment of the world and how the world progresses, this is what we need in our life. This will discipline our people, discipline our nation. You know, you religious clerics, you have a backward mentality of the 6th century, a barbaric mentality. That's what you have. We want to enjoy the world. We want to live with what the Western world lives with, what the 21st world is living, the success that they have, the wealth they have, the power they have, the glory that they have. All of this is doubtful iman. All this is weakness of iman. All this is weakness is staying away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail, you find the Quran is replete with a spiritual concept and a worldly concept as well. Doing actions spiritually, also making a sacrifice for the world, and not becoming over worried about this world. The Quran is always making this link between iman, between belief, between al-akhirah, and between charitable actions. For some of us it may sound very strange, but study the Quran in great detail, especially the last two juz, juz Tabarak, the 29th juz and the 30th juz. Study how many surahs, how many ayat inside there do you find are always speaking about iman, speaking about the final day, and speaking about goodness. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. What made you end up going into Saqar? وَسَقَرْ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ جَهَنَّمْ. Seven names mentioned inside the Quran of Jahannam, of the hellfire. Why are you in the hellfire? The first reason is plausible. We never used to offer the prayer. Makes sense. Person who doesn't pray is most closest to the hellfire, may Allah forbid. That's why many ulama of tazkiyah have concluded, person who doesn't pray five times a day is actually worshipping shaitan. Is actually worshipping shaitan. If the person doesn't pray five times a day, is physically worshipping the shaitan. Is worshipping their lust and their desires. So it's total sense the person's end, may Allah forbid, will be the hellfire. Then comes the second factor. We never used to feed the poor people. What relationship has food and drink got to do with Akhirah? What relationship does it have to do with belief in the hereafter? We used to waste our time. And then eventually, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّى أَتَانَا الْيَقِينَ. We used to reject Allah, say Allah links Iman in the hereafter with actions of this world and with these small actions. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. Have you seen the one who rejects the last day? What's the symbol of a person who rejects the last day? A rejection of the last day is the one who doesn't take care of the yatim, who doesn't take care of an orphan child, doesn't show kindness towards them. So the Quran is replete with his message, Surah Al-Balad as well, again the same theme about not giving in charity, not helping other individuals. And even the main surah here, or Surah Al-Duha that we find. These 11 verses, Makkah surah that we find. Min fada'il of this surah that we find. The early morning prayer, or after Fajr we find, to read Salatul Duha that we find. Numerous narrations that we find. Awsani Khalili, Awsani Habibi, Awsani Hubbi, Abu Darda, Abu Huraira. Numerous companions of Prophet ﷺ, he advised them that don't leave three things inside your life. Amongst them, to offer the units of prayer Salatul Duha, when you have the ability to do so. And that's this once again. If you read this surah in great detail, it speaks about the link of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your spiritual prayer, your spiritual need, and likewise doing these charitable actions. Your Lord has not forsaken you. Your Lord has not abandoned you. Some of the ulama, the fasir, they mention that it speaks about certain narrations that for a certain time revelation stopped coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this woman, she made this statement, Ya Muhammad, ما أرى أن شيطانك لم يأتيك. I don't see that your shaitan doesn't come to you no more. This, you know, for them, don't be surprised when American priests and pastors say that the Quran is the work of the devil. Don't be surprised by that. Don't be surprised when they say that Islam is a devilish religion. It goes back to the beginning. Because this woman said that, I don't see that your shaitan doesn't come to you anymore. Revelation doesn't come to you anymore. That's how some of the Quraysh used to see the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forbid. That's what the image of the book of Allah was. This is a human being. It worried the Prophet that revelation stopped for a short while. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. Your Lord hasn't forsaken you, abandoned you. He hasn't abandoned you. You know, with us, many Muslims, we think we're abandoned. We think we're abandoned, that maybe Allah forbid has left this Muslim ummah alone, left it to perish, left it to suffer this manner. No. And these are just moments that we find for of revitalizing ourselves, reawakening ourselves. Same feeling was felt by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that when revelation wasn't coming to him, your Lord hasn't abandoned you. Indeed, your Lord will give you so much, immense will be given to you, to please you. And the final world is better than this world. And then comes where Allah begins to mention the link between the hereafter and common cause of the worldly cause that we find. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Once again, what is the link between revelation, the last day, between Iman, between prayer, and then concluding the surah by speaking about that don't repulse, don't turn away the yatim. Don't push the orphan child away. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And the one who comes to ask you for something, then don't reject them as well. These are all moral values, moral practices of the Muslim that we need to revitalize ourselves, as we mentioned, inside this 21st century. And so many of us are affected by this. Because many people who do business don't care how they earn their money. They don't care how they earn their money, as long as they can make more money as quickly as possible, whether they swindle people or they carry out selling commodities which are full of flaws or fakes that we find, or charging extortionate profits. You know, sometimes Muslims say that, what's wrong with a prophet? Prophet is allowed inside in Islam. Allah has allowed business transactions and forbidden riba, but to be extortionate, that's why you study the concept of monopoly, of controlling wealth. You know, sometimes when you read books on fiqh, or chapters on fiqh, kitab al-buyu' that we find. You think that maybe it's speaking about another century, another time. But you find inside the narrations of fuqaha discussing that if a person goes outside the land or outside the community and purchases all the produce of an item and hoards it and stores it, so people are suffering, and then brings that commodity back into the community, then raises the price to harm people. This is not allowed inside Islam. To control things, to raise prices, to have an adverse effect upon the people, living people, average people around you. These are Islamic principles that we encourage inside our society, not to fall prey to what the Western world teaches about the earning of wealth that we find. And as we find that this shrewd mentality that we find, unfortunately, inside the business sector that we find, there's no leniency or benevolence in selling and buying things to the wider community that we find. As we find that, what is benevolence? What is kindness that we find? An act that benefits other individuals. And this act that comes from you, you will have no intent to gain anything extra. It's kindness towards the subject, the person that you're dealing with. That's what benevolence is. That's what kindness is. And that's what we find that Imam al-Ghazali mentioned 6 times of benevolence, of kindness that a person needs to show to the people around them. If a person needs a thing, wants to buy a commodity from a poor individual, then what should a benevolent individual do? The person should give that individual, shouldn't haggle the price with them, should give them the full price, and rather should give them extra money. That's what Islam says. That's what benevolence is. That, did you know this person is genuinely poor? This person just has the small stall, the small produce, selling the apples or fruit, whatever it may be. You know that. You don't bargain with this person because they're living on small elements of profit. Benevolence is to give them the full money, not to negotiate with them. And rather to tell them to keep the change or give them extra money. That's what benevolence is. The second type of benevolence that we find, a person purchased something from a poor person, he should be graceful. Or the poor person buying something from you, the opposite. Then you should be willing to barter with them or exchange with them. Give them, suffer that loss. There's no loss for a rich person, as they say. Give them what they want, what they desire, what they ask for. And likewise, if I am to give debtors more time to pay. People are indebted to you. And you know that is a genuine situation for these individuals. Benevolence is to give them more time to pay back their wealth. And likewise, individuals who want to return their goods. Islamically, something encouraged. But in the modern world of transaction, if I want to return one's good, people place all types of clauses and sanctions that once a good is sold, it cannot be returned. Benevolence is to take back property, take back goods if a person is not happy with them. Graceful acts on the part of the debtor to pay one's debts without being asked. If you yourself are in a state of debt, then benevolence is that you should go back and pay that person the debt. They don't need to come and ask you. They don't need to come and remind you that you owe me money. Person full of benevolence themselves will go hasten, try their best to pay that debt back to that individual before the set time. And likewise, when we're selling things on credit, one should be generous enough not to press payments if you know the other person doesn't have the wealth. These are the 6 concepts of benevolence that Imam Ghazali begins to discuss. All this is extracted in essence from the Quran. When كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَذِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. If you find that person in a state of debt or hardship, then be lenient upon them. وَأَنْتَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you be charitable towards them, then that is better for you if only you knew. You know, once again, the strange thing about the location of this verse is in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah contains some 286 verses. This is verse number 280. And after this verse, what do we find? وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Which is classified Imam Suyuti in his work of Al-Itqan fi Ulum Al-Quran mentions, this is the final verse. The final verse set down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is this verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam only lived for 9 days after his verse is set down. And you study this in great detail, you see that even hatta aqlan wa makes sense that this is the final verse of the Quran. This is the conclusion of the Quran. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear a day you're going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No individual will be oppressed on that day. Once again, what is the relationship? Allah here before this mentioned speaking about the person in debt, be lenient towards them. Then Allah mentioned this verse, and straight after this, what do we find? What is classified as ayah to deen. The longest verse inside the Quran that takes a complete page. Then after Allah once again begins to speak about the hereafter, about belief inside the hereafter. This is a message of the Quran that some of us begin to fracture, to take apart. That we begin to separate, as they say, religion from politics. دَعْمَا لِلَّهِ لِلَّهِ وَمَا لِقَيْسَرْ لِقَيْسَرْ Give that which belongs to God to God, and that which belongs to Caesar to Caesar. فَصْلُ الدِّينِ عَنِ الدَّوْلَةِ To separate religion from politics. That you religious clerics, you live in your environment and you teach what you want to teach the people. As for the world, as for diplomacy, as for politics, as for how to run a country, how to run the world, that we know best how to do that. And we said this many times, not to sound derogatory. Most of these people are sufaha, foolish individuals. That because these are signs of the day of judgment, that you find that foolish individuals will govern over you. Ma'indam deen wala aqal. They have no mind, they have no intellect, they don't have anything. All the decisions are based upon a rash, hawa, desires. It's not surprising that you find that, as you mentioned many times, anyone who says something, person will be flogged, person will be punished, person will be tortured, person will be thrown into a dungeon, person will be executed, person will be killed. On what basis? On what basis will it be? This, the nafs, the hawa, the desire. That's what it's based upon. You know, the world speaks about, oh, people worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, they do, unfortunately. That is pure shirk. But we should remind people, another form of shirk is this, your soul within yourself. That's also nu'un min ash-shirk. To worship your own nafs, to worship your own self, to worship your own personal identity, to worship your personal self, your personal interest. That's also shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the Quran mentions as well. Have you not seen the one who takes his own lusts and his desires as a deity? Takes his own lusts and desires as a deity. Worships it. Like they should be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the methodology of the Quran is something separate from what these people, what they believe in. In relation to this verse that we find about being lenient toward the person in debt, when a hadith that we find that day of judgment, we said to this individual, but what have you done? What do you have to answer for yourself? We'll say, oh my Lord, you bestowed your wealth upon me. You bestowed me such immense wealth. And I used to make financial transactions with people. And people used to owe me money. I was lenient towards them. And many of these individuals, I'd wipe out their debt. I'd overlook them, I'd pardon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, I have more right to that than you. Let my slave go. I have more right than you. I'm the all-merciful, the forgiving. You took this action of yours thinking this was mercy and compassion and benevolence. We accept that from you. But I have more right than that. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. So Allah would say, let this servant of mine, let him go. All for the simple reason of doing what? Being gentle, being kind, being lenient towards the people around him. And thus we find, as we mentioned, the context, the link of belief that we find and practice is what we need to encourage and instill inside our life. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ We find that unfortunately a lack of these moral values leads to fasad, to corruption upon the earth. And some of us may think that this is something ba'id, that how can there be corruption upon the earth if we're not showing kindness or not being benevolent towards other individuals? The evidence for this is inside Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th chapter of the Quran, whereby Allah mentioned, وَإِلَىٰ مَدِنَا أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا To the people of Madin, we sent the Prophet Shu'ayb. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَقُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ O my people, you have no other deity to worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a side point, you study Surah Al-A'raf, you find that every single Prophet mentions the same message. That's where we find that the Ahmiyatul Tawheed, the importance of belief in oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is where sometimes some of us who claim to understand Tawheed, we begin to lack maybe inside our lives. At the same time, every single prophet highlights the problem, the vice of this society, and highlights the solution, how to solve the problem. Yes, Tawheed will solve many of our problems, there's no doubt. But at the same time, when you govern and you run a state, there's other laws and regulations that also need to be implemented on the face of the earth. How will they be implemented? How will they be carried out on the face of this earth? So inside Surah Al-A'raf, you find every single prophet highlights their disease, their corruption, highlights the cure, what to do, what they need to carry out to rectify themselves. فَجَاءَتْكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ Indeed, evidence has come from your Lord regarding the situation. فَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ وَلَا تَبْخَسُوا النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ Be just in weighing the scales, fulfill the scales, fulfill the rights of the people, don't cheat people, and give whatever belongs to people, give it to them. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا Don't seek corruption upon the land after it's been rectified. كَأَنَّ هَذِي الْإِشَارَةِ That if you don't give people their due rights, you don't be benevolent, it's going to lead to what? Corruption on the land. When people are only worried about their own interests, about their own self, there'll be corruption, mass corruption upon this land that we can even visualize at the moment. And in conclusion, that benevolence shouldn't just be in business transactions, to be lenient, to be kind, to be tolerant. It should be in every single aspect of our life. That a Muslim is lenient, is tolerant, is kind, is an understanding individual. And this all goes back to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You find he's never given a choice between two things, except for that he took the easiest option, as long as it wasn't haram. If it was haram, he would be the furthest person away from it. Two options are given, he would take the easiest option. Thus we find that sometimes the harshness that we display inside our society and towards the people around us, it's not very fruitful. If you want to be harsh upon your own self. But it's not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and he sent another companion. He sent them to the land of Yemen, the land of wisdom. What did he say to them? Yassiru wa la tu'assiru, bashiru wa la tunaffiru. Be easy, be lenient. Don't be hard towards people around you. Bashiru, give people glad tidings. Don't push people away. And in the end part of the hadith, it mentions cooperate. And do not be divided amongst yourself. Prophetic traditions, prophetic teachings. This is how Muslims should be. Finding ways of being lenient, being tolerant, being understanding. Helping inside our society is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, we find benevolence is the best form of da'wah that we find. Because actions speak louder than our words. You know, in a world that we're trying to convince people that Muslims are generous, peaceful, tolerant, kind, amicable, charitable individuals. Don't we all try to do that? Islam is a way of life, a religion of peace, of tolerance, of understanding, of this and that. Yes, it is. But have we not heard many times non-Muslims will make this plausible question? Even though answers have been given to this, but it's a question which is justified from them, from their mindset and their life. If Islam is full of so much peace, why is there so much corruption in your lands? Why is there so much sin amongst you? Why is there so much vice amongst you? Yes, we all know what the answer is. But them as human beings is a question which is plausible. That they can ask that question to us. That if Islam is a life of tolerance, of justice, of equity, of fairness, then show us where it is. Show us the image of it. Yes, we all know the golden era. We all know the golden era, 40 years, when there were Khulafa al-Rashidun. 40 years when there were real rulers, real people that showed the world that this is a nation, this is an empire, this is a people who are fair people, who are just people. And we've had symbols that many times through history, even till recently that we find, the land of Andalus that we find. Read the history of that. Read the history of Philistine. The crusaders that we find, years, centuries of them harming people. Read history. That we've forgotten. Who awoke? Who protected the world? Who were those people who liberated the world from the realms of darknesses? They used to send their children to us. we find that the Europeans in the Dark Ages, they used to come to us, that we used to enlighten them, we used to teach them, we used to encourage them. And what did they say? When the Franks were there inside Philistine, what did they say? That our own people, that what they've done to us, that may God bless people like Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, al-Kurdi. May Allah bless such individuals. That when they were posed the question, do you want to remain under Christian rule? Or do you want to go towards this Islamic rule? Who do you want to govern over you? And that's why people of linguistics have said, the best praise a person can be given is the praise that your enemies give to you. Praise that people who love you and honor you isn't really praise. Praise is what your enemies say about you. And what the enemies on that day, they said that, they said we'd rather live under these people. These are people who liberated us. These are people who are benevolent people. These are people who are kind individuals. And as we find that if our moral values and compassions are not reflected inside the action, then the words become meaningless. These words become meaningless of moral values that we Muslims are like this. They're meaningless if we don't deliver them. If we don't take these teachings of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and we deliver them inside our lives. That each one of us, we hold fast to them. That people begin to see that when people engage with Muslims, they see that yes, Muslims, they don't believe in this. They're not vicious. They're not barbaric. They're not hateful people. They don't despise people. They don't harm people. That's how you give da'wah to people. Their enemy is within ourselves, as they say. That those people who want to hold upright, encourage other people, that they become the enemies from within society, within Muslims. We are our own enemy at the moment. In the way that we conduct ourselves, the life that we live, the values that we hold on to. We've destroyed our own selves. يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. They destroy their homes with their own hands. We can go and blame whatever we want to blame on the face of this earth. But that's the reality within ourselves. Until we don't fix our own values, our own personal identities, our own personal selves, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will never change the condition of a people until they don't change their own selves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to change ourselves externally, and more importantly, internally within our hearts and our souls, to change ourselves, channel ourselves towards teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of benevolence, of kindness, of pardoning, of forgiving, of goodness, of overlooking. These are the traits of patience that we need to deliver within our own selves and deliver that to the society around us.